In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Last Saturday, the Swiss Archdeaconry Synod voted to make a donation of 200 euros a month to the Anglican Church in Athens to help them in their work among people hit by the euro crisis in Greece. Nobody actually quoted 2 Corinthians 8, verse 13, which was in today's second reading. It is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need. But all the same, it shows that there is a long history of supporting one another because we are all one in Christ Jesus. Not that the crisis is confined to Greece. I could tell you stories about how Aidan, our middle son, is struggling in Ireland. Nor is it just the euro. All over the world, financial systems are in trouble. Here in Switzerland and in the United Kingdom, neither of them euro countries, the banks have been in the news again lately, and the news was not good. Mark 5:26 comes to mind. Describing the woman suffering from hemorrhages for years, it says, she had spent all that she had on trying to find a cure, but she was no better, but rather grew worse. You could see this as a parallel to the billions spent on trying to fix the euro. Or perhaps it points to something deeper, a picture of obsessive, almost addictive behavior. A workaholic, for instance, is not simply someone who works excessively long hours, but someone who, confronted by a problem, works at it in some way. When it doesn't get better, they carry on in the same way, but working harder and harder and harder, doing the same things to deal with the problem, but it still doesn't go away. And the result is a vicious cycle. The same is true of people who have multiple affairs, drink or smoke too much, who are over-controlling, who think they can spend their way out of trouble. Just do it again, one more time, and everything will work. But it doesn't. They are no better, but rather grow worse. Is that what the woman thought in the crowd when she reached out to touch Jesus' cloak? One more cure, the latest in a long line. But Jesus warns about this attitude, this state of mind. Verse 43 of today's reading says, he strictly ordered them that no one should know about the healing of the little girl. Several of the healing miracles in Mark's gospel end like this, and it often puzzles people. Why did Jesus tell everyone not to say anything about this particular miracle? Why did Jesus want his miracles kept quiet? He does it, I think, precisely to break out of this vicious cycle. If your attitude is, when all else fails, we'll try Jesus. Or if you see his power like a tap to be turned on at will, then you will be no better, but probably even grow worse. Because the encounter with Jesus is a challenge. He calls for commitment, for us to take up our cross, following him in the way of death and resurrection. Then as now, some people turn to him for what they can get out of him and have not wanted to take on this whole package. It's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. And the miracles are to be kept quiet so that people do not turn to him for easy answers that commit no one. Jesus' preaching, after all, begins with the word repent. That is, stop. Ask yourself, is there another way? Which brings us back to the financial crisis. Billions of euros will buy a lot of sticking plasters, but they remain just that, sticking plasters, temporary solutions. To want the convenience of a common currency or to make quick profits buying up other people's debts, but without a sense of discipline and responsibility, is also a form of cheap grace. And like many things that seem cheap, it can work out very expensive in the end. Whereas what is needed from politicians and bankers, but also from ordinary citizens, is repentance, a new attitude that takes to heart what the gospel says about greed, unrestrained consumption, and the ever-increasing possession of material goods. Instead, let us conduct our affairs, whether they are in politics or finance or our own personal lives, let us conduct them in the light of those gospel concepts mentioned by Paul in his letter to the Christians in Corinth, which, by the way, is a city in Greece. Generosity, balance, fairness, and above all, faith and love. Amen.